a few sunsets and sunrises since the return of the most awesome force in the WWF, and things remain down and dirty and nasty all around. Still walking unaffected by the curse of voodoo put up on us by Papa Shango. Now we walk and venture into the armpits of you, the Nasty Boys. But what you don't realize, Knobs and Sag, next week the curse shall be put up on you!
McMahon, I'm sure the curse of Papa Shango will certainly affect the Ultimate Warrior.
We'll find out next week when one of the Nasty Boys faces the Ultimate Warrior. Until then, we'd like to say to all you moms out there, have an ultimate Mother's Day!
Whoa, whoa, baby, you'll and blow.
That's all the words I had prepared for that.
Our new co-host, Linda McMahon, we're adding some diversity to the show.
Whoa,
she's got that gift of gab, famously. She's taking a little bit of time out from her work in Washington, D.C. Well, of course, we've got to bring her in over Skype. She hasn't made her way out here to the Midwest.
I'm sure the connection
But Linda, say hi to everybody out there. Oh, we must have some connection issues.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, we'll try to work this out. Maybe we'll get her added back into the show later. But I don't know, until then, I guess we'll just go forward like we usually do.
Oh, man. A fan tried to attack her, and Triple H just clotheslined the living bejesus out of him.
He's a good add to that McMahon family.
Yeah.
He's going to make sure that their facial features just keep getting more and more prominent down through the genetic lines.
You know,
they're devolving into cavemen, Matt.
To go Bret Hart on you. You know,
okay.
When I first saw that Triple H, I thought he was going to be the Skippy to their Mallory, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Stephanie being the Mallory, of course.
But then he turned into the Nick.
He turned into the Nick. Well, that's not a good ending. Nick was cool, though, man.
I'm just forcing you into fucking metaphors here.
Hey, that's a good catch line.
Yeah, he had...
What's his catchphrase? He goes, hey.
He had an earring long before most people had earrings. That was pretty cool.
Well, he pretty much just dressed like one of the vampires from Lost Boys.
Yeah, he was kind of like an errant Lost Boy. Got lost and like went out to the suburbs on accident.
Which is pretty fucking cool.
Started dating Mallory Keaton.
That Lost Boys look is cool. I wonder how soon people are going to start dressing like that.
I mean, recently we saw that new Matthew McConaughey vehicle, the Beach Bum.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
And we've fallen head over heels with his Key West aesthetic.
Yeah.
I'm thinking if you mix a little of that Key West with a little bit of that Santa Cruz, or I think they called it Veracruz to make it a fake, Lost Boys, like a young 80s vampire aesthetic,
right.
You could really like hit on something that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. Like t-shirts, tight ass jeans, tucked into boots, and/or high tops.
Ooh, yeah,
a couple bandanas tied around your leg.
Some sort of like leather braided into like
Robert
my hair
Gibson
a little
style.
Bit. I'm thinking.
You got a trench coat that's pretty form fitting with the sleeves rolled up, little loose.
One gold tooth.
Yeah. Big shades. We got to bring the big wraparounds back. I think that's gonna be in this summer.
Yeah, I think like. I think like the Kardashian sisters, I've seen them wear stuff like that. So we just got to bring it back for men, I think.
Kardashians.
I don't think any man has taken that big leap.
Kardashians.
Why are you saying that?
I don't know. I just was thinking about Batista yelling basketballs.
Uh-huh.
But then just saying Kardashians instead.
They all got big old fake boobies.
Kardashians.
Like basketballs. These little lines were connected.
I don't know what any of them look like anymore.
Well, they all have just like have the same surgeon clearly, so they've all like slowly started turning into the same person.
I don't know.
Like, there's not even a fat one anymore. There used to be the fat one. You could be like, oh yeah, that's the fat one. I can always pick her out. Not anymore. Like they've done something to her.
I tell you what, I really like weird stuff, and you know that about me.
Yeah, that's why you're so fascinated with the Kardashian family. There's a lot of weird shit going on there.
I'm not even sure what this whole them merging into one super being does for me.
They're
sexually
turning into Station, and I got
that's
a boner
cool
for it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is hitting your weird hot categories.
Sure.
Wow, this might be a first where a weird thing happens and you cling on to it sexually before I do. Well, it's fascinating.
Whatever.
It's fascinating. Huh.
No shame in my game. Yeah. Except for the fat one. I'll still be able to sniff you out. Get out of here.
I always had a pension for the...
Oh, and one of the young ones really looks pretty natural one and doesn't really have any surgery going on, and I don't like her either.
Yeah, she's
get your natural look the fuck out of here.
I always liked the short, oldest one. I think she was the oldest. She's real short, and she dated the drunk.
I don't know
drunk
anything about what they've done as human beings. I only see random pictures on the internet.
I saw a video.
I like the one that's had the most surgery. That's what I know. Not counting the dad, who's now the mom.
I'm going to give a
I'm
shout
talking
out
about the daughters
to old Teddy Bizcliz and his adult video emporium.
Sure.
A.K.A. his closet.
Yeah.
You know.
He's a couldn't bit, couldn't he's a bit seen... of a throwback of a human being here, still collecting physical pornographic media.
All you assholes that have latched back on to buying vinyl records again, like, you know, you're the same ones going to be sniffing around Ted's vintage collection of DVDs when that's cool again. When you're like, man, you know what? I need some hard copies of pornography
in there still.
No,
anything on nice on LaserDisc.
I got to find out what he did with that entire box of Girl Gone Wild DVDs.
Well, hopefully he's circulating it out there for like the new generation of coming up kids to see. Just like the classic leaving a box of porno out in the woods for some kids to find. Like,
right, because it's going to be like...
He's got to be the guy doing that. Somebody's got to be doing that.
Whose mom's going to show up in this video, little kids?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Most of your moms, as it turns out. Your parents' generation kind of lost their minds there for a while.
He's got a real nice vintage original release of Face Jam. If you want to borrow that.
Is that a parody of Space Jam?
Correct.
Or is it just girls getting plowed in the face?
Ooh, it's a mystery.
Okay.
No, it's
bing that and see what
it's
that one's like.
Porn parody of Space Jam with no cartoons.
Just imagine coming up
or
in a
animals
generation
or monsters
where you're not able to make fun of your friend's mom's lower back tattoo because your mom has one too and everyone you know's mom has one. So it's just like a moot point. These kids got it rough.
Yeah.
Back in my day, if somebody's mom had a bunch of like trashy tattoos, it'd be like, his mom was a stripper. It's fucking hilarious.
Right.
We make fun of him about it all the time.
Oh, you're from...
Literally all the time.
You're from a low-income area of town.
I had this one kid in my class whose mom did some underwear modeling in her younger days.
Tell me more.
She was still pretty young and hot because like his dad was an older gentleman, a lawyer who was on his second wife.
Hell yeah.
But he was like weirdly proud of it all the time. I mean, like we wouldn't have known if he wasn't like spreading it around. Like,
kids,
my mom's fucking underwear model. Like, looks hot. And like, this is like third grade when this is going around. And I'm just like,
kids, get a look at my wife and her maiden form ad spread.
I'm not going to throw any names around because I still kind of have some connections to this dude. But we're like, bro, you're probably too young to know about that. Why do you even know about that?
I'll get
let alone this. Have pride about it.
I'll find out off air, and then I'll find the pictures as well.
You'll be excited.
But before all that, we're going to talk wrestling, because it's Baby Oil and Blue.
Did we just come up with that name? That's pretty good.
just came up with
it. Very exciting.
With you, as always, your host.
Finally got a concept nailed down.
It's me. It's me, big time Matt. Oh, with me, as always, you're going to be... Brian Breger, babe, to my Bill Pierce. I'm talking Nate fucking Adams.
Hoy, hoy, everybody. How come we ended up being a couple of losers this week? That's not good for us.
I don't know.
We're not building us up at all. Christ almighty.
Because we're bottom feeders, Nate. We got to go low to get high.
Lord knows that's the truth. Oh, also, probably we should start propagating my new nickname that I've given myself, my new Key West nickname.
Yeah?
Driftwood. I want to go as Driftwood.
Driftwood
now.
Driftwood Adams,
we're just going to start calling me that.
Hell yeah.
On the podcast. Just more people hear it, the more they'll start latching onto it, I think. Yeah. We get my hair more sun bleached here once the weather starts turning, and trust me, I'm going to get some sun in going on up in here.
I'd
it's going to start looking cool.
Driftwood, or I'd call you mixed drink. Because, like, you're always at the bar and you got, like, some kind of mixed cocktail.
That's pretty good.
And, like, who's that guy with the mixed drink? Oh, mixed drink?
Yeah.
Like,
that's his name.
Yeah. And that's why people start to know you. And then they're like, oh, mixed drink's actually pretty cool.
I was sitting at a bar the other day with this fat man and his fat old wife.
Yeah.
And they were talking to me about how they were people who raced sailboats. But then he was telling me about all the cool bars he used to hang out in and like Hammond, Indiana, like 20 years ago.
Hell yeah.
Either way, there was this one bar he hung out in for like 4 or 5 years where everybody called him Wilbur in there. Because the first time he went there with a horse. And everybody was like, that's the guy with the horse. We're going to call him Wilbur. And then they did for years, and nobody knew that wasn't his name.
Please, Wilbur. I'm not wearing pajamas.
That's like our buddy Space Hog showing up to band camp in a Space Hog shirt. And a black gentleman who'd never heard of a Space Hog in his life took
one look
at his shirt, took a look at him, and said, "Yo, new name Space Hog." He laughed, and
it was nothing to laugh about. There was no laughing matter, because that's still his name 20 years later.
Throughout high school, you would go up to people that knew him very, very well, and you would use his real name around them, and they'd be like, "Who the fuck are you talking about?" He'd be like, that's Space Hog's real name.
That's more of a believable origin story, I think, than this fat guy telling me that he had a horse in a bar in Hammond, Indiana. How did he get that horse
there?
Yeah,
how many years ago was this?
This is like decades ago.
Yeah, maybe.
There's nothing I could disprove by going into the place and asking around.
Yeah, that place ain't there no more. Hey.
Uh-huh.
How about the big news, man?
Big modern day wrestling news going on this week. They drop a lot of bombshells at C2E2 probably this weekend.
No, because that was invaded by AEW, bro.
Oh, they don't have anything to talk about.
Nope. CM Punk was there.
Bunch of fucking nerds playing
signing with
games.
All those dudes. And he looked almost affable to some people in pictures from what I saw.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Maybe he's like not cutting weight all the time anymore to try his ridiculous MMA career, so he's not so grumpy anymore.
Yeah.
He's getting a little bit more protein in his diet.
Right.
It's good to see.
Yeah, AJ keeps coming in his mouth. I'm saying she's got a dick, bro.
I don't know. I was gonna say I don't much know if there's much protein in lady cum.
I call them the lady of the couple, Nate.
Mm-hmm.
It was
what's that?
Not homophobic, but homo.
She does have
whatever
more visible muscle mass than him at all times.
Yeah,
so.
Has always.
So
right
there's that.
So the big news, big day for women.
Huge day for women.
Oh.
It's
about time. 2019 is going to mark the first ever headlined WrestleMania with a women's match.
Is this the first time that I think maybe they've even gone as far as to announce what match is for sure going to be the main event, if it's official? So they're going to try to milk some brownie points out of this, I got to say.
I'd say this has got to be the first time since what?
I don't know. It's been a big question every year for...
Like, they've announced headlines, but it's always like...
For many...
They're co-headlines.
Other than back when, like, the company was more streamlined and it was always clear what the main event was going to be. Like, no, it's always so... So this is a big thing. They're making a big deal about it. Women are finally main eventing the biggest show of the year.
It's huge.
It's a huge advancement for feminism, for just women all over the world. You now can be a carny at the highest level. There's
Correct.
No more glass ceiling on what kind of a sleazy, despicable, fame-seeking carny you can be.
I'm going to make shirts that say girls can grift.
Girls can grift now. That's pretty good.
Hashtag girls can grift.
That's pretty good. We're one step away. Maybe next year or something of this works out. We'll finally get the women to vote, and they'll be out there voting for these slammies.
Oh, yeah. You think?
Uh-huh.
Man, it's about time. I heard the closest they had to a female on the panel for the Slammies.
Sure.
Pat Patterson.
Close enough for me. But yeah, I mean, it's if you own property and are a female, I think maybe you should be able to cast votes for a Slammy. I don't want any riffraffs like
I don't want some
renting apartments or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, Ooh, I got I'm an NXT girl, and I got an apartment in Orlando. It's just like, no, yeah. No, you got no say here. Yeah. This is important stuff going on.
Ruby Riot, whatever house you bought in like Shitburg, Florida.
Oh God,
that doesn't count.
She's living in Tampa. I know it. She's got Tampa all over her face.
Oh man, you're gonna. There's oh boy.
You just went through a lot of emotions. Right
I did
there all
because.
At once.
No, St. Pete. There's some areas outside St. Pete. Just not good. She lives somewhere.
Teeming with trash.
I'm going to tell you right now. She lives somewhere around Busch Gardens.
Perfect. That's my dream life.
I promise you. The area over there, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very safe looking, but they've got
a little bit seedy. That's how I like it.
But they do have Taco Bus there.
Taco bus?
Taco bus.
Do you get on a bus, or does like a bus come and serve tacos?
No, there's just a bus, and you walk up to it and get the tacos.
Okay.
And they got like a building. They're remodeling, but if you're ever down that way, taco bus. It's well worth it.
I was kind of actually hoping for like a taco-shaped bus that was just their form of public transportation, kind of like a giant wiener mobile.
For those of you who think you've seen it all, this next story is really for you. A giant wiener crashes into a house in Mount Pleasant.
It was the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, and now the homeowner is in quite a pickle. Our Tammy Houston is in with all the frank details. Tammy?
Well, you bet your buns I'm going to be frank, Brad. Indeed. It happened this morning in Mount Pleasant. Police tell us the driver of the Wienermobile was trying to turn around on a dead-end street. Witnesses say she was in the wrong gear and most likely does not relish what happened next.
I saw this thing coming. I thought it was on hot dogs, so I brought my money.
Zachary Nielsen was wishing he had an Oscar Mayer wiener.
Came over here and I saw it crash.
But when he ran out of his home early Friday, he soon realized one of America's favorite treats wasn't for sale, but would soon be in hot water.
I think out of the half a dozen or so wrestling matches I've seen from the past year, most of the good ones had Charlotte Flair or Ronda Rousey in them.
Yeah.
Most of the ones that looked like actual wrestling.
Yeah.
And not just like, you
those,
know.
Those two were probably
modern wrestling bullshit. So right. I'm on board with, I'm not too familiar with the Becky Lynch, other than I know she's got a ridiculous Irish accent.
Yeah.
And all the nerds on the internet are super into her now.
Oh, I'm Becky Lynch. Hi.
Either way. Whatever. I'm sure that should main event.
If she wins the strap.
Not out of any merit, but from a lack of merit of everything else they have going on.
If she wins the strap, it's a championship. Goddamn, pal.
Sure, yeah.
Strap's something you wear around your pelvis to fuck your girlfriend. Is that what Vince is going to start saying now?
That's, yeah,
to the ladies?
It's what a woman wears around her pelvis to fuck Triple H when they're in a relationship with him.
Either way.
Till those hormones get that clit big enough.
If she wins, all right, and then X-Pac comes a knocking. If she wins the strap, do you think
stiffy
she's gonna
stiffy seconds? Is that what that is?
Stiffy,
it's no longer sloppy seconds.
Let me get those stiffy seconds. You think Becky Lynch is going to dedicate her win to Dolores from the Cranberries?
I would hope so. That's her mom, right?
I think that's how that
second
works.
Second generation Cranberries.
Her father's Bono, and her mother is Dolores.
And she wants to cut these promos about how she didn't have an easy rise to the top. Come on, you're royalty.
Yeah.
His parents taking you straight to the top on name alone.
We all know the truth. You ready to talk about 90s, 80s? 80s,
yeah,
80s wrestling.
Early 90s wrestling.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
We're going to do our rundown. This week, we're back up north. We're talking superstars. We're talking about the May 9th, 1992 superstars. This week, the rundown is going to be brought to us by a little Chuck Norris movie I watched last night. 1985, Code of Silence. Great film.
Okay.
Directed by Andrew Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Same guy who directed Under Siege.
Which Delta Force movie was this?
This was Code of Silence. It was not a Delta Force.
Huh.
By far the best Chuck Norris movie I've ever seen.
Really?
Dirty Cops. Dennis Farina is one of them.
Oh.
In Chicago. Just dynamite just footage all throughout the bowels of dirty, filthy 1985
Chicago.
Hey,
Chuck Norris, you got to start taking bribes like the rest of us.
High-speed chase down Lower Wacker. You got like a fist fight on top of the Brown Line.
Is it as cool as
explosions?
The Lower Wacker scene with Keith
Way
Ledger's
better.
The Joker?
Way better than the one in Batman.
But everybody
you got
loves
like a RoboCop-esque robot that Chuck Norris uses
Excuse
to
me?
Kill like 20 bad guys at the end of the movie, which came out of nowhere. I loved it.
Wow.
Overall, just a great little gem. And, you know, what else would you expect from the director of Under Siege?
Did you have to rent that, or was that streaming somewhere?
Oh, I found that right on the Amazon Prime. They've added a lot of Chuck Norris movies recently, Matt.
Hey, you Prime kids, now is prime time to go watch a little Chucky Norris.
So, fire up that, you know, I get that Amazon Prime just for the free 2-day delivery, because I don't go out in public. I order everything online, like, you know, a freaky weirdo.
Yeah.
So, all this streaming Chuck Norris movies is just the icing on the cake.
Whenever I'm like, hey, little lady, let's watch a Chuck Norris movie, she's always just like, I only want to watch Sidekicks.
Ugh, that's...
Nate, I don't want to watch Sidekicks.
One. That's a really bad one. But either way, stop picking on Amazon. Jeff Bezos, richest man in the world, but he doesn't pay his employees well. Ooh, they didn't pay any taxes last year, even though they made hundreds of billions of dollars. Whatever, they're giving you free Chuck Norris movies on top of your delivery fees.
And let me tell you something else. You don't get to be the richest man in the world by paying your employees well taxes.
Get
your head out of your ass.
Look at those Ben and Jerry's hippies.
Yeah. Fucking losers.
First match of Superstars is Intercontinental Champion Bret Hart out there against Von Kruis.
More like Bret Fart.
Yeah, young Skull Von Crush. Hart wins pretty easily with the sharpshooter. It's real quick.
Yeah.
Next match, Sonny Blaze is in there with a re-debuting Kamala. Kamala has rejoined the WWF. He wins the match after a big splash, and then they do that whole gimmick where he's too stupid to pin him because he's got the guy's stomach down, and Kim Chi and Harvey Whippleman got to yell, like, turn him over,
roll him over.
Kamala's like, It's like, Kamala, you're like a 20-year veteran at this point. You still don't know how to pin somebody? Give me a break.
Yeah.
El Matador Tito Santana is in our next match versus Bob Bradley. Pretty brutal, this one. El Matador wins with that flying burrito to the back of the head, execution style.
Yeah.
Damn, he's got a new vicious streak.
Motherfucker!
The Legion of Doom is in our next squash match against a couple of jobbers that the crowd was too loud for me to hear what the Fink said. I just couldn't hear it at all.
Perfect was talking over it.
LOD wins with that doomsday device. Kato is out there.
Great one bod on that guy that took the doomsday
Orient Express. So. We love our nice bods here at Baby Will and Blow. Mm-hmm. It's well established. He's in there versus a debuting Crush. This is a brand new wrestler we've never seen before, Matt.
Never.
Crush comes out there. He wins with this sort of just janky looking spine buster.
Yeah, wins with world's worst spine buster.
Wasn't a good spine buster at all.
All the other power offense he did was pretty
decent.
Yeah, and
then he just like blows the finish. Just looks real awkward. Like, why isn't he out there crushing skulls yet? When's he just starts crushing skulls with his powerful hands?
Either way, spine buster is where you like lift him in the air and forcefully drive him into the mat.
Mm-hmm.
Not where you lift him in the air and they're too heavy and just fall forward
and
with them.
Like, fall forward just the whole way with them.
Oh, I hope I don't smash my face.
Put your hands and your knees out to try and break your fall because you know what the fuck you're doing.
Right. Also, I didn't recognize Crush.
Uh-huh.
Because the Crush I know has some pretty bitchin' kick pads.
Yeah, right.
For all that karate offense he does.
He doesn't quite have the whole package together yet, clearly. Our featured big, like, main event match. They've been talking about it all week. Ric Flair is in there versus Sergeant Slaughter. This ends up not being so much a Flair versus Slaughter match as much as it is an excuse for the Mountie to come out and debut his fucking cattle prod, man. His shock stick. That thing, that had a loud zap to it. He kept putting it at the camera and, so he zaps old Slaughter and Slaughter...
Zap.
He's taken out and
zap.
Know, they put the boots to him and whatnot, and the Mountie, he never takes his mirror shades off the whole time throughout the whole segment.
Yeah,
he just looked cool.
Cool
as fuck. Slaughter looked like a fucking idiot. One more match for some reason. They didn't end the match, the episode on that big angle.
That was some real
true
WCW
style
shit.
Right here. Just fucking bullshit. We're gonna throw the Nasty Boys out there for some reason against Brian Breger and Bill Pearson. I think I was done with the episode at this point because I stopped paying attention. I think one of the Nasties won with just like a body slam.
Was it a slam or an elbow? I don't
know. Side slam, body slam, something real generic. Nothing match.
I got the same thing. Nasties win.
Weird way to format the show. Should have ended with all this chaos when Slaughter's getting shocked with that fucking cattle prod. Let's not do our bitching now, though. Our bitching comes in the five count. That's the next segment here where we count through our talking points.
So I'll get it started. Mother's Day edition of Superstars.
That's right.
More like Squashers Day edition of Superstars.
Yeah, there was
fun
matches on this episode.
This episode was a little too squash.
This was like 1985 levels of squash matches where all they were is 30-second squashes.
Right.
No, the one marquee match with two name guys was just an angle. It wasn't even a match. Give us something.
The Crush squash match could have been good if he had his like legit crusher finisher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like all the power offense was good. It was cool. This and that. Like, I was like, okay, good way to debut.
Ooh, a new guy looks really strong. I don't remember that he was in Demolition a few months ago.
He's doing some pretty bitchin' power offense. Let's see how he finishes him. Oh, he lost his balance and fell forward. Oh, no, that was a spine buster.
What a loser.
Yeah.
Not even Bret Hart gave that guy any fucking offense.
No.
Bret was usually the guy who, like, at least would, like, do some sort of little sequence where he tried to get some wrestling in his match.
No. But I tell you what, as much as I poo-poo Bret, mm-hmm. I'll give him a little credit. I always love when he would do the sharpshooter on a bigger opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever he would, it wasn't just the quick cross him up and step over him.
The Rock did that to great effect. It always looked amazing.
Yeah, he does it so well.
Yeah.
He'd cross it and then kind of like pull it tight.
Sure, yeah.
And readjust.
Right up against his chest.
Readjust before he stepped over to go into position. Like, hey, you know, this guy's got some long legs. He's got a little bit of leverage. You could flip me with the legs, you know. If he decided like he wants to, you know, like extend his legs, he could probably, you know, flip me, you know.
Right.
And so I'm going to give it a... I give it an extra second. I give it an extra little tug on the boots when I'm crossing them over, you know?
Yeah, that's a good idea, eh?
And then when I step over, you know, I got the legs. I got them locked in real good, you know, so I can't get out, you know?
Extra little step to try and make your fucking finish look like a real thing.
Yeah.
Unlike that god-awful STF that John Cena would sometimes not even remember to lock his fingers while he was doing it for the last fucking 10 years or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know.
John Cena, off in Hollywood. Good riddance.
You don't mean that.
My number one is going into this little angle they showed. We didn't get the match, but we got the post-match angle where it's the Repo Man versus the British Bulldog.
Yeah.
The Repo Man takes his hook on a rope.
Yeah, you're into my guy Repo.
Puts it around Bulldog's neck, and he throws him over the top rope of the ring, and he hangs him. But he does it real good. He's pulling that tight. And, like, he takes his rope and he ties it to the bottom rope, so, like, he's trapped there and he's hanging.
Yeah.
And Davey Boy just does a great job of just straining and, like, holding his breath and making his head turn completely fucking purple.
Right.
To the point where this was, like, without splitting any hairs, an attempted murder that was happening on television. They were televising an attempted murder, which is exactly the kind of wrestling angle that I always fucking love.
Right.
I thought this was great. Guy fucking hangs you, tries to kill you. By the grace of God, you survived. Now we got a match I want to see.
Nate.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Grudge gets started.
Yeah, this is definitely out of nowhere. First, it's just a competitive match, and, you know, you're two athletes trying to get ahead in the world, and then somebody fucking tries to hang and murder the other guy, and now you got Grudge.
Yeah.
I especially liked the post-match interview Davey Boy gave, where they went as far as to put a ridiculous ring of red makeup around his neck to make it clear that this man has suffered permanent damage from this hanging. Like, look at that red ring. That's from the rope. We don't know why he didn't die. Nobody came out to save him. He was just hung, but he's still alive. He's still alive.
His throat was hurt worse in that hanging than Triple H's when RVD fell on us.
that was a shoot, brother. Yeah. That RVD, he's doesn't really know what he's doing a lot of times.
No.
One thing I did not like about the angle, most of it done to perfection, is Davey Boy's post-interview. I like the makeup, but, you know, he gives his same promo and his same dumb mush-mouth voice. It's all half accent, half steroid tongue, and I'm like, if this was Jake Roberts getting hung by the Repo Man, This guy would have been practicing some sort of new scratchy voice, right. scratchy throat voice, yeah. like can barely talk croak thing to like sell how much damage. Yeah. You wouldn't just be out there yelling like, well, I'm so mad at you and now I'm going to take you on the fight.
That's, show me some highlights of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat working with a speech
absolutely.
Therapist.
Absolutely. Your voice box should be crushed right now. At the very least, your throat should be completely raw. You should not be able to yell. Repo. You should not be able to speak in your normal voice.
When my throat heals up, Repo, I'm coming for you,
that's
Repo.
That's the
know?
Difference between a good wrestling angle and a great wrestling angle. Yeah. The little touches, just the little nuance. The great performers who think about these things.
Plus... he didn't sound all that upset about what happened.
No, he just went into like his a basic just like bulldog yeah, you went into a stump speech. It's like early primaries. Yeah. Like these are my talking points. I'm just going through them.
Hey, bulldog.
No, this is a grudge match.
Yeah,
fucking bulldog, give
but
me a break.
Just, you just killed any and all grudge.
Let's get some emotion in here.
Now we just have a regular angle.
Mm.
Grudge is dead. You killed it
all in one fell swoop. You took me up high and then brought me down low.
Wrestling is a fickle. Fickle mistress,
mm-hmm,
Nate.
Mm-hmm. I've learned that the hard way.
Mm-hmm. Do I have a number two? Is there something I want to talk about?
If not, we'll just keep going.
Yeah. My number two comes in Mooney's event center
mm-hmm.
when he's got the new tag team of High Energy.
You know, Coco and Owen have joined forces.
We've got a brand new tag team
here.
A
whole tag team division.
Called High Energy. I'm Sean Mooney.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm Coco Beware.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about. And he just keeps yelling and yelling, and it looks like he's gonna, you know, throw that bird off. And
that bird had to have been like they had to have got it high or something before they did anything with it, because he's constantly just jerking it around, screaming in its ear, taking it out into the huge crowded arenas.
Is
like,
he Captain,
how is that bird not freaking out?
Is he Captain Whatever from Beach Bum?
Oh, it's got that cocaine-addicted parrot.
Yeah,
man, very much so. Martin Lawrence could be taking a lot from Coco Beware yeah. as he crafted that character of Captain Whack.
Captain Whack, that's what it was. So Captain Whack here, Coco, he's going on, and like Owen's trying to like work his bullet points in, like that he was told to work in. Like,
oh, you know. Yeah. No, you know's your brother's catchphrase. Yeah.
You can't
use it, Owen.
That.
Oh, sorry. You know,
with this Beavis, Canadian Beavis voice.
Canadian Beavis would have been a much better fucking gimmick for him than the Rocket.
Coco keeps hooting and hollering, and he's throwing his arms around, and he's talking about how Frankie's about to fall off,
mm-hmm.
and he yells, "I got too much energy!"
Well, they're high energy. It's true. Nothing's ever been more true.
Which was just code for, I did way too much cocaine before we taped this, Owen.
Rightly so. If that's your gimmick, lean into it.
He's killing it.
Hall of Famer Coco Beware.
And now,
rightly so.
Now I understand why it's for material like this.
Mm-hmm.
Killing it.
My number two is just a quick shout out to Kamala, the Ugandan giant.
Yeah.
How they brought him out and just what a complete package he is. He's got the spear, he's got like the little grass skirt type deal, he's got like the big mask thing.
Yeah.
He's got a man in a safari outfit. He,
Kimchi.
Stumbles around like a wild animal. He doesn't understand the rules of the sport that he's been in for decades. He can't speak English or seemingly any language.
Kimchi, who was...
There's a lot of fucking people.
It's mostly the Brooklyn Brawler.
Brooklyn Brawler a lot of times, that makes sense. It just struck me, just looking at all. Like, I've been seeing Kamala my whole life. I've known what a Kamala is. A Kamala is just like a thing that exists to me, no problem. But man, if I was looking at this with fresh eyes, like for the first time, just like as a anthropologist going back and unearthing WWF superstars, this is probably the most racist fucking thing that's ever been put on television.
Well.
This character of Kamala, just taking a fucking hillbilly black dude up, dressing him up like a jungle savage, and making him come out there and just act like a complete goddamn animal while everybody talks about how he's basically an animal and not a human being. Oh, God.
But you saw...
Oh, God.
You saw the looks on those young white kids' faces.
They did a stupendous job of getting the camera on confused young kids' faces this week. It was like 90% of the episode.
Right.
I think my favorite was Little Girl with Binoculars.
Yes.
She had a real dumb look on her face. And it's like, how big is this arena? You don't need binoculars to see what's going on.
If you want
to
scout some wrestling pain.
I guess, yeah, she could have been looking for bulges.
Yeah, she, you know, went through some changes and she knew what she was there to look at. God bless her. I'm going to give my number three to how much I forgot that I liked listening to Paul Bearer go, "Oh, Mr. Fuji." Oh,
that's true.
Mr. Fuji.
People do the Paul Bearer impression. It's always just, "My Undertaker."
Yeah. "My Undertaker."
You forget that there was a whole litany of things that Paul Bearer had to address throughout his career, and he would say them all in the same Paul Bearer voice.
But whenever he'd do the, "Oh, Mr. Fuji," it was in the low tone, not like the high excited tone. It was, serious.
We're building up to something here.
Oh, Mr. Fuji.
His Undertaker's been brought down to a level he's never been brought down to before. It's a reset period for Paul Bearer right now. He's getting his bearings.
And
his
Paul Bearings.
He's trying to figure out what the next step is for their career.
I also liked, in return, Mr. Fuji calling Paul Bearer Paul Barrier. Oh, Paul Barrier!
Yeah, this... I should have just made this one a manager feud, maybe. Maybe, like, built up to a tuxedo match, Bearer versus Fuji.
Yeah.
Who even wants to see Taker and Berserker in the ring?
I do, man. I really... Every time they keep showing us more shit from Berserker week after week...
Keep showing that footage of him trying to stab a sword through the Undertaker's
heart.
But then,
like, they let him talk, and I'm always entertained when he's talking to me.
Yeah, he's... Moves good for a big man. He's... Hollers and spits, like there's some stuff going on there. I think the gimmick was just a couple steps too cartoony for him to be taken very seriously.
They let
him
be a little more savage and get a couple of wins.
Yeah,
just there's money left on the table.
Full on Bruiser Brody with him. It's cosplay he was doing before they stuck Viking horns on him.
Yeah,
why a Viking?
Because he was the Viking John Nord.
Yeah, why? Make him fucking crazy hillbilly from Kentucky, John Nord, and have him come
look,
out.
Look, it worked in AWA.
Pull people's goddamn eyeballs out of their head. That's what's going to get people buying tickets. My number three is a very short one. It's just something I appreciated. They did a couple Mother's Day fucking little interstitials throughout this thing where wrestlers would wish all the mothers out there happy Mother's Day.
Interstitial. There's a $50 word for a $20 man.
And my favorite one. I'm just going to let that insult roll right off me because I'm too high on the joy right now from the LOD one, which was simply them standing there and Hawk going, "Oh, happy Mother's Day."
Yeah.
What mother is that doing anything for?
Oh.
That was real good stuff.
All the moms at home with tattoos. Yes.
Oh, my. Thank you so much for the consideration.
I'll tell you what, Jimmy. He reminds me of a man that used to be at the bar with your daddy before I met your daddy.
I met your daddy. He came in the bar with a horse.
When I met your daddy, Wilbur.
Yeah, that's a good bit.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to start working on that.
We need to get our hands on a horse is what we need.
Oh, absolutely.
I need people to start coming up with fucking stories about me.
I got a number four.
Mm-hmm.
And it's anything and everything that involved Shango or Warrior.
Okay, yeah. Feels like every week we're getting an awesome Papa Shango fucking promo. And he's just killing it on these promos every week.
So we've talked since the inception of this show about that fateful whatever little thing they had where Shango made a Warrior puke green and this and that. And
sweat squidding.
Right. We bring it up
terrifying stuff.
And you wonder yourself, like, well, was it really good or was it just something that I remember for some reason or whatever?
A little bit of both.
Yeah, now that we're like getting to the start of it, I'm pretty sure it was just that good.
Sure, little kids are dumb, but also, turns out this feud's pretty cool so far.
Shango's in a weird room that's all red, and he's lighting a ton of shit on fire.
Just smoking,
like,
red lights. Where is he at?
Smoke inhalation's got to be awful for everybody at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, Shango's doing some great shit, talking about how he's going to curse Warrior, and he's going to... take over the demise of the Warriors, mm-hmm. and this and that. And you're like, oh, that's cool.
Warriors
that's really
pretty
cool
strong,
shit.
But yeah, how yeah. do you wrestle when there's a curse on you,
yeah.
I wonder?
Like, that was really cool shit. And then, like, at the end of the show, they even have Warrior rebuttal before they go off the air. And Warrior cuts one of the best promos he ever has in his life, where he logically works in his upcoming match against the Nasty Boys mm-hmm, mm-hmm. at the same time going into business for himself, talking shit about Shango. I was impressed, man. It was like the most logical thing he's ever strung along in his career.
Sticking to his upcoming match next week, factoring in his bigger overarching feud, talking much less about space or gods or... all the other cool shit he's usually talking about.
I could go with him working somewhere.
I think they found him on an off day. What wasn't coursing through his system on this day that they got him early enough to where he was fucking talking straight? Yeah. I don't like it.
And he managed to, like...
maybe this is where all the rumors that there was a new Warrior and the old one died started. Did you
hear that shit that guy was saying?
That, like, A to B promo that he cut on Wrestling Lab? There's no way that's the same guy.
Like, not only did he talk about both feuds, he talked about the Nasties, worked it into Shango, and then managed to make his way back to the Nasty Boys.
Plus, we got a big cliffhanger. He's going to wrestle one of the Nasties, but we don't know which one.
I'm dying to find
out.
It's
going to be Knobs or Sags.
So, Shango,
how
Warrior,
do they decide? They're going to draw straws?
It's hard to say. Way to do work, guys. You really killed it.
My number four is just talking a little bit about that whole Mountie and Sergeant Slaughter angle.
That's my number five. Let's get into it.
Well, you might want to talk from a different angle. My specific angle is just that it's all just this angle that's shot during a match, and there's just a third wheel out there, just left out cold, out there for no reason other than to be a prop for a match, and that's fucking Ric Flair. And it's just every week we talk about it a little bit more, but it's becoming clearer and clearer. Flair just feels so out of place in 1992 WWF.
Yeah, like, that's fair.
He looks weird out there next to these guys who have these crazy gimmicks. They don't get his character. They don't know how to present him to make him a big deal like he is down south. And the whole, like...
there was a lot of wooing going on.
Yeah, I mean, he's over and they're pushing him huge and he's at the top of the card, but he just doesn't fit in. It's not right. And I can understand why it lasted so short. Because, like, the feeling I got watching, like, him in this match with Slaughter and then this Mountie goofiness happening around him was just like when you were a kid and you'd be playing with toys and you'd, like, mix some of your G.I. Joes in with your, like, Thundercats toys or whatever. And you had some sort of, like, free-for-all thing going on. And you got, like, different toy lines that are all at different scales, but you're trying to make it make sense.
Sure.
It's just like... Flair's like out there as a G.I. Joe figure standing next to Thundercats, and you're just like, this isn't working.
Yeah, doesn't line up well.
This is kind of a mess. I've gotten in the fucking world of make-believe here in my bedroom and kind of lost track of the thread of what I was going to do. I should fire up the Nintendo or something and reset it, because, I got a nosebleed happening. I got too much crazy shit going on right now.
That's when you turn on a little pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Choose Starman.
Got to go find a sugary cereal to eat and just reset my brain.
Yeah. Did you go with Nintendo cereal?
I definitely ate some Nintendo cereal.
Nintendo.
I was not a cereal loyalist back in the 80s. I was all about whatever the fucking new cereal on the block was. That's what I was getting. It was like a constant rotating.
Me
like,
too, because I didn't really like cereal.
I did, but it was all about the new strange. Like, I wasn't sticking anything long. Give me that Mr. T. Give me that E.T. Give me that fucking Apple Jacks. Throw in a Nintendo cereal. Oh, we got fucking Ghostbusters cereal now? I'll eat it.
Ninja Turtle cereal. That was one.
That tasted like... well, I think I was using the canisters of slime. This is why it didn't taste good.
Oh.
I should have just put milk in it like normal.
You had ooze in there?
You shouldn't eat the ooze, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. There's only one cereal I ever liked.
There's so many delicious cereals. How could that be true?
It was a Muppet... based, and it had a...
ooh, what's Muppet taste like?
Well, delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different company cereal, but for some reason they got like the Muppets to endorse it. I don't know. But they had the Swedish Chef.
That's a big get.
Swedish Chef was on the box.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like stars. It was like Spangled Stars or something.
I was always big fan of the Monster cereals back when I was a kid. Especially Boo Berry.
Oh, you're talking, favorite. Yeah, yeah.
But man, this is another one of these things where you look back and you're like, have things gotten worse or was I just a stupid kid? Like, I'm sure the process has changed and the recipe has changed over time and whatnot, but that stuff doesn't taste as good at all anymore. And when I was a kid, I was just like, this is delicious.
It was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. I think much like KFC chicken, it's a situation where it did legitimately used to be a lot better, and now it's just garbage.
Nate, the only time I eat KFC anymore is if I need to give myself diarrhea.
Yeah, love that chicken from Popeyes. I know what you're saying.
Hell yeah, dog. So this whole Sergeant Slaughter, Flair, Mountie thing, like, it's does suck what they did to Flair. One thing I noticed, like, if the whole match, they kept being like, anytime like Slaughter would get the upper hand, they'd be like, you know, this is Ric Flair. This is a former world champion. Mm-hmm. This is a former champion.
One-time world champion for a few months ago.
Much in the same way that most recently, what's his name? The Indian dude.
Jinder Mahal?
Yeah, he had the strap. Mm-hmm. And then like loses the strap and then loses to everybody and their mother.
Forever a former world champion.
Yeah. Oh, this is a former world champion. And that's just a thing they've always liked to do.
If that's the case, then why is he fucking messing around in mid-card feuds with Slaughter and the Mountie?
So even in 92, whenever they were like, this is a former world champion, that's their way of being like, he's never getting that again.
Code for it. We got nothing left for you, buddy boy.
Yeah. That's the line.
This love affair is coming to an end.
That is the line right before best in luck in your future endeavors.
Sure, yeah. And then he did have the best in luck because he went back down to the fucking South where he's
crushed
the king.
The absolute
king.
Where WCW is still alive today.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's not true. Flair and
it
Slaughter.
Is in my heart.
As soon as I saw Mountie come out, I was like, I'm kind of disappointed.
Yeah. Because
it's going to be a DQ real quick. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to see Slaughter and Flair work.
If they had some sort of real feud with some real grudge behind it, I'm sure those two could beat the fuck out of each other and it would be entertaining.
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
It's not the sort of thing you're going to get in WWF.
I thought it was going to be an immediate DQ, and it was like, oh, no, wait, they're actually going to let these guys wrestle for a little bit. And that was the most like entertaining Slaughter work I'd seen in forever.
Yeah. If Slaughter's got a good opponent, he can do some good stuff out there.
He took some wicked bump over the ring post. He was doing shit, man. He was moving.
Mm-hmm.
He's fucking gorilla pressing Flair over his head, which I've never seen him do ever because his arms look so sickly.
That's true. He never was quite the physical specimen, but always had it where it counted in the ring, especially in any sort of like brawling feud. You know, this last run he's got going on here as a performer, you got him out there, dudes like Hogan, dudes like the Warrior.
Yeah.
Fighting those matches aren't going to be his forte. You're not going to be getting the best idea. But even at this period, he is, like you said, bumping his fucking ass off. And he's got a big fucking ass, too. So that's nothing to sneeze at.
He's got that Mick Foley ass.
Never trust a man whose ass is wider than his shoulders. Satchel ass.
Satchel ass. Noel Foley's also got that Mick Foley ass. But I tell you what, it does something for me.
Never trust a big butt and a smile, Matt. My number five is one of the last images.
What have I done?
One of the very last things we see on the show, and it's just a classic crowd shot of a kid holding up some merchandise and shaking it at the camera. And I just wanted to shout out maybe the lamest wrestling toy I've ever seen, which is the Ultimate Warrior teddy bear, which is just a normal teddy bear. It has a couple
brown,
of tassels
just a brown
teddy tied
bear.
On its arms and a cardboard Ultimate Warrior mask attached to his face with what looks like roach clips. And that's the toy. And they were selling it.
All right. So when we go for commercial break here,
I'm
going to look up that exact toy.
Okay. Are we going to buy one?
On eBay's, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to set the over-under for the price.
Ooh.
At $45.
$45?
You taking the over or the under?
I'm taking the over for sure.
Smart man.
Okay.
Smart man. Well, tune in after the commercial breaks.
Cliffhanger, bitch.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
I know Kool, and Kool's teaming up with a good balanced breakfast.
Teaming up with Mr. T cereal. It's getting on the team. The team that knows how cool breakfast can be. You get a crispy corn taste with a touch of brown sugar.
Teaming up with Mr. T.
It's cool.
Teaming up with Mr. T. Golden sweet cream.
Mr. T.
It's cool.
Teaming up with Mr. T. Nintendo.
It's for breakfast now.
Nintendo.
It's a cereal.
Wow. Nintendo.
Super Mario. Jump.
Nintendo.
In a fruit flavored crunch.
Nintendo.
Here's Zelda 2.
Nintendo.
Here's very good news.
Nintendo.
You just can't move. Nintendo cereal system is a super part of this nutritious breakfast.
Nintendo.
Two cereals at once.
Macho baby, he'll sell a Slim Jim to you. Macho baby, he's ridden with his dog by the pool.
You've seen that picture, right?
Oh, yeah, that's one of the greatest pictures ever.
Yeah, that's why I got a German Shepherd, just because I hope to one day have the WWF title and a pool.
Just second only to that picture of him in like jeans and a tie-dyed shirt with a WWF title sitting out on a dock somewhere in Florida.
This is my fucking dream, y'all. All this shit. Look at my shit. I got shorts, every fucking color. I got designer t-shirts. I got gold bullets, motherfucking vampires. I got Scarface. On repeat.
Best movie.
Scarface on repeat. Constant, y'all. I got Escape. Calvin Klein Escape. Mix that shit up with Calvin Klein B. Smell nice. I smell nice. Ain't a fucking bed. That's a fucking art piece. My fucking spaceship. USS Enterprise on this shit. I go to different planets on this motherfucker. Me and my fucking Franklin's here. We take off.
Take it off.
Look at my shit. Look at my shit. I got my blue Kool-Aid.
Ooh, you got
some
Kool-Aid.
I got my fucking nunchucks. I got shurikens. I got different flavors. I got them size. Look at that shit. I got size. I got blades. Look at my shit. This ain't nothing. I got rooms of this shit. I got my dark tanning oil. Yeah. Lay out by the pool. Yeah. Put on my dark tanning oil. Machine guns. Look at this motherfucker here. Look at this motherfucker. Huh?
The Ultimate Warrior teddy bear.
Oh, yeah. We ended it with a cliffhanger. Now we're milking the drama here.
I found none for sale. So they're
he called all of his toy show contacts, too. We've scoured the entire Midwest.
They're hard to come by right now. And the only thing I saw roughly had a price of $99.99 associated with it.
That's an over right there.
That's
You're not trying to fool me with these toy costs. I understand that people pay top dollar for dumb trash.
If you want, and I know you do, we can take
doesn't
down
sound likely so far.
We can take down all the wrestling figures right there next to the lamp.
Starting to sound pretty sweet so far.
But you pony up $200, I pony up $200.
That's a lot of drinking money.
And we put in place of those figures a in-the-box Ultimate Warrior wrestling buddy.
If that thing comes into this house, I'm taking it out of the box and playing with it, Matt.
Right?
There's no way I'm putting that thing in the fucking box. I'm dropping elbows on that thing off the couch.
That's probably
for fucking sure.
It's probably one toy I don't want in the box, like, despite how much it could be worth, because, like,
hell no.
Yeah. First thing I'm going to think about is all those fucking commercials and those ads.
How am I going to put a wrestling buddy in an arm lock when it's still in the fucking box? I can't is the answer.
Those ads with cool young kids turning their beds into rings with
ropes.
Were they
cool?
Absolutely.
Being cool?
Yeah, wrestling's cool.
Okay.
Huh.
Got different memories on this. They've done studies about that.
Nate,
people remember things differently. It's what?
You know what's not
what
cool?
That don't hit me.
Racism. That's a segue, brother.
That's true. It's pretty much, other than about 30% of the country that's holding strong to their love of racism right now, walking around in...
Oh, the numbers have dipped?
Yeah. Well, look at Trump's approval ratings, whatever that is. That's everybody...
That's where racism stands.
Pretty much everybody else agrees that racism is not cool and has been on the same page for a long time. You shouldn't be putting people in boxes and treating people different from...
Unless it's for erotic purposes and both parties
their
consent
skin and whatnot, and yeah, sure, there's racist porn out there still. But
no, I meant
because it gets people wet.
Nate, I meant literally putting people in boxes.
Oh,
yeah,
I see. I thought we were just talking about like those pornos where they get like mad at each other and they yell racial slurs at each other and stuff.
No, it's kind of like sensory deprivation, and then you're like, you hear, it's cardboard, so like you're hearing
the
things,
Joe Rogan podcast.
You're hearing things, and it's like, what is that? Maybe I'm pissing on the box. Maybe it's going to bleed through. Maybe it's just water. Maybe I'm just fucking with you. Who knows?
You gave me DMT before I was in this box too, and now I'm tripping balls.
Dick, mouth, toes.
Our three count this week is inspired by just how jarring I found Kamala's re-debut to be. I was like, is that the most racist thing that's ever happened?
And the dick, mouth, toe porno industry. You found that very jarring. I'm
still into that prego midget stuff.
You just blew my mind because, okay, yeah, I'm going to look that up.
Okay.
Just do the three count.
So this week, the three count is just a little exploration of that. I want to dig into that and be like, you know, is the character of Kamala the most racist thing that's ever happened in wrestling?
Is there
a lot of racist things
happening? A pregnant midget woman doing pornography? Probably.
Somewhere in the world, that's for damn sure.
And I'll find her, that's for damn sure.
So our three count is the most racist characters in wrestling history. Think back.
I'm shaking it out. I'm getting ready.
What's super fucking racist, super fucking inappropriate? What's the sort of shit that could only happen in the world of pro wrestling where all the people that watch the show and run the show are just, you know, like fucking half-wits and hillbillies and no
racist,
acceptable...
And also racist.
Human society would have accepted anything going along. We're talking about wrestling-only stuff right now. What's your number three most racist character in pro wrestling, Matt? I know it's going to take you a while to dig through the archives because I can see just hundreds of racist wrestling gimmicks.
I was going
to
say,
got listed right there. You're scrolling fingers, getting tight. It's getting cramped.
There's good news and there's bad news. Oh. And that is, there's so many to choose from.
That's true. It's not so heartening, but at least it gives us something to talk about.
The first racist characters that I...
You breaking rules already?
Would like to
I'm
speak
about.
I'm
doing a three-way tie for each one.
Nope. Because they were all the same kind of racist because they were a faction that was funny and acceptable years and years ago, but had no place in the 2000s.
Okay, we're going all
and
the
they
2000s.
Still get made fun of, and it's... No one gives a fuck for whatever reason about this nationality. They're still acceptable to be made fun of, even though it ain't cool.
I feel like I know what nationality we're going after right now.
I'm talking about the team of Kai and Tai.
Yeah, I definitely knew we were going Asian because that is the one bit of casual racism people will throw around. I think it's because like they got like an understanding like, nah, Asians are basically white people. We're cool with them. It doesn't matter if we... slant our eyes and...
They're really successful over
there.
Over-the-top
voices.
Pick fun at them. They first were somewhat legit coming out of ECW.
Yeah, they came out just a bunch of hot young Michinoku pro guys showing off what they can do, high-flying.
They were a legit faction.
Back when it was still a little bit interesting to see high-flying.
Dick Togo over in Michinoku Pro.
That's Dick Togo.
Yeah, right. And then they showed up in the ECW, and then they made their way to WWF, where they were quickly turned into a comedic villainous trio, where they would come out
bumbling
and say things into mics that weren't turned on, clearly speaking Japanese.
We got some classic kung fu movie dubbing bits.
Yeah.
Even though these men, not Chinese, they're Japanese.
They had
dirty knees, look at these.
That's like my favorite scene in...
Uncle Buck?
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
Well, no.
Oh.
And what's
the, remembering
what's
the that one? Movie wrong, I think.
It's the Rob Zombie
The
one.
Devil's Rejects?
Yeah, oh. His wife. I'd like to take a run
She's
at that.
She's dirty in some kind of way.
That's the things I'm into. So... They had two big catchphrases, which were evil, and the other one was...
I kind of forgot the evil aspect.
Yeah, The more famous one was mm-hmm. where Michinoku would mouth a lot of words, sure, and then sure. all that would come out was, indeed.
That was a funny bit at the time. I mean...
You chuckled? You guffawed at it?
The first few times I did, not like... Time 400, because you know they fucking
that's not
drive
what WWF
everything to the
does.
Goddamn ground.
No, I got to admit,
yeah, pretty racist. Looking back with modernized, I say modernized. Yeah. This was late 90s, early 2000s. It shouldn't yeah,
we
be. We should
have had modernized
ago,
then,
but we didn't, as it turns out. Not even like 6-7 years ago, where we were looking at things the same way we did now. We've really made a lot of
well, they still
progress in shaming people. To stop shaming other people.
They still like tout Sho Funaki out there at pay-per-views and be like, look who it is. You guys still like him. SmackDown number one announcer.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of like English going on.
Yeah.
And
they're
Asian
all right with
jokes.
Exploiting it. And one of the most famous scenes to come out of the Attitude area, Choppy Choppy, where they wanted to cut off.
Yamaguchi-san had a sword.
Yep.
Val Venus's dick was laid out on a table.
Yep.
And he yelled, choppy, choppy, your pee-pee.
Because they wanted to cut off his big white American penis mm-hmm. with a samurai sword. Because they would use samurai swords and they're jealous because they're Asian and have small penises. Which
you know
is
what?
The subtext.
Also a great bit. I really enjoyed that
yeah?
bit. Yeah.
Okay.
That was probably one of the best
so
things
that's
to happen
why,
when we were wrestling.
That's why Kai and Tai is my number one trio of all time. Is that what we were doing?
I think we lost the thread there.
Yeah, whichever.
My number three is, I think I'm going to throw it out there to a Baby Oil and Blow favorite. A guy we've sang the praises
Don't
of.
Don't do it.
Many a times.
No, he's a good man.
Got to go with the African dream, Akeem.
He's got a family!
There's a lot of different layers going on here. Sure, dressing somebody up in African tribal gear is offensive. Saw it when they did it with Kamala. Saw it when they...
I'm not accepting this.
...tried to turn Tony Atlas into Saba Simba for whatever reason. Yeah. But it's just a step more offensive when you take a full-on 100% white guy and dress him up in something Queen Latifah would have worn in, like, 1994. And have him coming out doing, like, sassy fucking pimp walks, talking essentially like Dusty Rhodes.
Yes.
Seeing as Dusty Rhodes talked like a black guy, you're talking like a black guy through the fucking prism of talking like Dusty Rhodes. And what, is it a big joke on black people or is it a big joke on Dusty Rhodes?
Yes, it's one of the most offensive Dusty Rhodes parodies.
Either
of all
way,
time.
There's a lot of racism going
racist.
On here. There's a lot of people, white people doing things they shouldn't be allowed to do on camera going on here when you're doing broad mannerisms
had,
and silly voices.
He had the jive soul bro next to him.
Deepest, darkest Africa, and you got that.
That's also where Kamala's from.
What was wrong with the one man gang? You got a gigantic guy. He's a whole gang in one man. He comes out dressed like a street punk. I thought that was a cool gimmick.
Yeah, that is a pretty cool gimmick.
I don't know what works better about this that wasn't working then. This is all just one of Vince McMahon's weird racist jokes that he takes too far.
Goddamn, pal. People really love that tub of shit Dusty Rhodes.
Featured character on his fucking TV show for years for no reason. That's all I got to say about Akeem. I'm sorry, I know he's a favorite of yours, but I had to put him on the list.
Cool to make fun of Dusty, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Make fun of him all the time.
As long as we're cool with that, I still like Akeem. My number two.
And Cody. You can also make fun of Cody.
Oh.
Dustin's off limits.
I'm going to tell you right now. Cody Rhodes, there's a laundry list. I could do a top three on reasons I don't like Cody.
Oh, for sure.
My number two. If there's anything that commercials of yesteryear taught us that maybe everybody should have paid attention to.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that it's not cool for Italian dudes to play Native
wow.
Americans.
Wow.
And I know...
I know a lot of old Western movies made their bread and butter dressing up Italians as Native Americans.
They even had an episode of I Love Lucy where Ricky gets a couple of real live Injuns to come scare Lucy at the house, and
I don't remember that.
Fred's like, oh, geez, Rick, these real wampum Injuns, and they're like, hey, no way, pal, I'm Joey Rigatoni, and this is Bobby Scalafante.
Sounds super problematic.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, your wife's such a stupid bitch, Rick. She's gonna fall for this. And, like, here's the thing. They're all racist dickheads. Why were they giving Ricky such a pass?
No. Hey, Cubans can be racist.
Oh, okay. All right. Either way.
About racism, as it turns out.
I'm talking about one of WWF's greatest Native American wrestlers of all time, and that is Mr. Chief J. Strongbow.
Yeah.
Who is from Philadelphia.
I'm bored to tears. Let's go harass Charlie and Dee.
We don't need Charlie and Dee to have fun, okay? We can figure out something to do without them.
Hey, you know, guys, now might be a good time to do our Lethal Weapon 5 reshoots.
Why would we do reshoots on that? That movie was perfect.
Yeah, I was great in it, and my villain was very evil.
Yeah, no, you did a great job, Frank. I'm not talking about that. Your villain was amazing. I'm referring more to the blackface of it all.
What's wrong with the blackface?
Well, I seriously regret switching parts with you halfway through and letting you play Murtaugh in blackface. I feel like it was in very poor taste in retrospect.
I think it was in poor taste that you were doing Murtaugh in whiteface. I mean, for God's sakes, Dennis, what message does that send? A lot of great actors have done blackface.
Oh, you know, there's countless examples of very classy actors doing blackface. Let's see, we've got the great C. Thomas Howell in Soul Man. We've got the Wayans brothers in White Chicks. That was a very tasteful example of reverse blackface.
Okay, those are bad examples, okay? There's tons of good examples of old movies with... Okay. Frank, help me out.
Laurence Olivier in Othello.
Laurence Olivier in Othello, dude. That's like the classiest actor of all time.
Yeah, but I guarantee you there were some black people that were working on that movie that were like, hey, man, what that white man doing? Come on, that ain't right. Get a black man.
Okay, so hold on.
What kind of voice
You're
is
doing
that?
A black voice and that's not racist?
I'm just saying that's how black people talk. That's not racist.
So you would do a black guy with a black voice, but not a black guy with a black face?
I don't have a problem at all with doing a black voice.
Yeah, doing a black voice,
that's just an accurate
portrayal. I don't understand that, dude. I'm just saying it's just about doing it tastefully, okay?
Yeah, and you gotta make the lips funny.
Whoa, no. What?
You have to be funny. The lips
it's not
have
about
to be
funny.
Outlined.
It's not about being funny at all, okay? It's about to... Oh, my God! I'm getting pissed off,
you can't do the voice without the lips.
Okay, all right, everybody calm down. Clearly, we're not going to come to any conclusions here today, so let's move past it. Let's do something else.
Okay, you're right. We can find something to do. Let's just figure it out. Let's just figure it out. Let's put our heads together. Come on, think.
Ooh,
was 100% Italian.
That's basically white.
Not Native American at all.
Nearly counts as white.
And is, to this day, heralded... as one of WWF's greatest American wrestlers
There's
of all time.
Never any apologies for taking a white guy
no!
and putting him in feathers and making him fucking tomahawk chop around.
But fucking Mickey Rooney's got to apologize all day for his character in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I will never make anybody apologize for Breakfast at Tiffany's. That movie makes me cry every time I watch it.
You're a sensey boy, I know.
There's a whole other layer, too, I think, of racism that you can put on top of Chief J. Strongbow in his depiction of a Native American character, which was just...
Getting the woo over?
Broadly offensive. No, it's just I've heard that he said the N-word a lot backstage and was like a real racist and stuff.
Well, he might not have been. He just might have been more black than everybody else, a la Michael Hayes.
Michael Hayes, I mean, he's got a clear... You've seen the way he dresses. He's got a clear argument for saying that.
And I don't know if that makes me racist for buying into that, but like when he tells Mark Henry he's the realest, or he's more than he
You're
is.
You're on his
like,
side? You feel like... Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. That
a little bit. P.S. Hayes was never in the Olympics.
Yeah, I've definitely heard some stories about where Hogan wanted to put like Kamala over on some house shows, and J. Strongbow was the agent for the matches and was like, you know, we're not putting that N-word over, except, you know, didn't use... That half-step in use of the word,
no.
I'm saying. And
he went full
and then
Booker T.
You know what happened to Hogan, like, years later. So you got to wonder, like, who, impressionable young man, Hulk Hogan, getting this N-word thrown at him when he just wants to help a brother out. Like, we can blame Chief J. Strongbow, essentially, for the fall of Gawker.
So Strongbow...
The dominoes are falling here.
Strongbow, you make our list three times for being fake Native American, for... dragging Hulk's good name through the mud by warping an impressionable young mind.
True.
And for three, closing down Gawker, which was just One of the best.
The deeper we got into that, the more I started thinking we should have made him the number one.
Yeah, probably. That's a good point.
My number two is really stands out for me, just how egregious and unnecessary the gimmick was and how late in the pro wrestling landscape it happened, when we should have been long past these stupid, stereotypical bullshit gimmicks. You looked around at the landscape of everything else that was going on at the time. There was nothing else like this on the cards. It was pure just Vince McMahon racism.
Yeah.
And that's taken three luchadors who were already stars.
There goes my possible number one.
All around the world in their own rights. All with flashy, interesting, unique luchador costumes that could have like gotten over and sold merchandise and whatnot. He took all three of them. He lumped them together, put them in fucking jumpsuits, called them the Mexicools, and he had them play the characters of people who cut grass. Literally,
Lyle.
Super Crazy, Psicosis, and Hoovy would come out.
Thank you.
Driving lawnmowers to the ring while drunk driving lawnmowers to the ring while chugging bottles of tequila. Yeah. This is probably the most racist image ever on UPN television. And they just, it wasn't just like a one-time thing that they happened and got shamed for. And then we're like, okay, we're putting that away. Sorry. They brought it out, trotted it out for months and months and months.
Let's hold on with the most racist thing UPN ever showed, because they had a short-lived comedy series with Gary Busey's kid on it.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what happened in that.
Okay, but also whatever could have happened on that show was probably canceled out by the least racist TV show ever in history, Homeboys in Outer Space.
This is how it all began, the true story of two good friends since the age of five. It's been their dream to run a starship as a team. When everything was going cool, till a minor mishap in flight school. The body ship went very fun, and now they're having fun as homeboys in outer space. Mercenary brothers, down for one another. There's no mission that's too tall, ain't no problem they can't solve. So come aboard this space too deep in the 23rd century. Homeboys in outer space, homeboys, yeah.
Oh, I was a big fan of that.
Yeah,
show.
How can you call any network that's that
ahead of
that
its time right there,
racist.
Man? Ugh. But yeah, Mexicools was a possible on my list as well, because, good lord, that's racist.
And these guys were all already stars.
Established
they were all
stars.
Already over. Like, you just fucking ruined them out
yeah.
the gate just to shoot yourself in the fucking foot just because you're so racist you can't get out of your own way, you fucking Irish Mick, Vince McMahon.
And Nate can say that because he is Irish, folks.
That's how racism works.
You don't hear me saying that
That's
word.
That's how racism
you know?
Works.
I don't get upset if he says that. But I'm going to get
upset,
you know?
Yeah.
If he says Polak, like,
I always
that's my
wait
thing.
Until you leave before yeah. I say things like that, because I know it would make you upset.
Or saying guy fucking another guy in the ass because I'm Greek. Like, that's fucked up, Nate.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
We're not
That's
supposed
our
to
lineage.
Talk about the weird things that Greeks do.
And we're only that way because the Turks did
Keep
that to us.
Keep it under wraps.
It's fucking Turks, man.
There's a whole history.
I'm supposed to be blonde-haired and beautiful.
That's my number two.
That's a good number two.
Fuck you, Vince McMahon.
That's why it was on my list. Where do I want to go? Where do I want to go? I'm going to have to just stick with my guns because he hasn't been on the list yet, and he should be on the list yet. And much in the same way that you were like, man, it was way too late for like people to be making fun of, Hispanics.
Mm-hmm.
Even though this was like two decades earlier, it was still way too late for people to be making these kinds of jokes. I gotta give it to Virgil.
Yeah, there's a
Nate.
Lot
he
of,
was a slave.
There's a lot of undertones when it comes to Virgil, and he's one of the more insidious ones because, unlike some of these other broad things where you could laugh it off and be like, oh, it's goofy silliness, Virgil is just kind of like a
it wasn't
creepy
funny.
Undertone.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a black servant who, like,
yeah.
he orders around.
Yeah. There was nothing funny about it unless you were Vince McMahon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Once again, it's a halfway pot shot at fucking Dusty Rhodes. So.
Which is good.
So I guess the lesson we're learning here is it's okay if you're racist as long as you can like
but again, that was,
in a way and be like, no, I'm making fun of Dusty. I'm not making fun of black people.
But that was Heenan's idea.
Bobby Heenan, we love him. We don't want to call him racist, but got to admit that he was. But damn, he was probably the best,
which is
best
weird.
Damn racist they had.
Which is weird because he's from Indiana like we are. And,
you look around and you talk and you go to the bars, you don't meet many racists.
So Virgil, yeah, like in some of the earliest promos with DiBiase and Virgil, like DiBiase even says, like, I own Virgil. And Virgil even says in at least one of those promos, yes, sir.
Yikes.
So there's that.
I think, yeah. And Virgil makes me uncomfortable to even like talk about more just because, like,
right? It's and not just because I'm thinking about him angry at a autograph signing with no one near his table.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of them are just like insensitive, whereas this one's just mean spirited.
Yeah.
So it's just like, ugh, gross. Don't like it.
He wrestled out of Memphis. His name was like Soul Train Jones or some shit.
See, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's like, you could put some like blaxploitation fucking sass in there, give him an empowered character, fucking tell a story where he eventually like slaps down the man and takes over and like steals $1 million man's riches or something.
Also,
I mean, Virgil sucked, so that wouldn't have worked. If he had like a good fucking black dude in that role, though, that would have been a good storyline.
I also like how it's like a bizarro world where like old dudes down wrestling down south is Soul Train Jones and like getting over and doing well, and then he goes up north to work as a slave.
You'd really think there would be like, much more of like a Waffle House IHOP border like divide between the racism and just like, oh, you know, like, yeah, there was a lot of southern territories that did racist shit, but like up north, like it was more of a national, like mainstream thing, so they didn't do things like that
diversity.
And it's like, no, they did things like that. They did a lot of them all the fucking time.
The only racist thing we ever caught out of WCW besides anything involved with Michael PSAs was El Negro.
And that one just is more confusing than anything.
That's fair.
Why is this guy called the Black?
Yeah.
And is he black? It's hard to tell under that mask.
Could have been some kind of Dominican.
My number one is my number one because it's also super fucking mean-spirited all the way through. And just real button-pushing and just real on the edge of probably getting thrown off TV even back in the 80s when it was happening. And that's the AWA's Colonel DeBeers.
Ooh.
Portrayed by a man named Ed Wiskoski. Started his career.
I'll say it. That's a Polack name, Nate.
Started his career up in Portland playing a character called Mega Maharashi Emed, where he grew his hair and his beard out and was just doing like
Nate, that's not Polish.
A lot of like racist baiting over that, you know, that fucking weird cult they had up there that tried to poison all the salad bars with salmonella. That's a story that happened in the 80s. Either way, he's doing some racist
80s was a weird time,
fear-mongering
friend.
Around the fucking, you know, Muslim type people with that before he settled in to his regular character in the AWA, Colonel DeBeers, who was a militant from South Africa who was pro-apartheid. And man, did he push the boundaries. First off, DeBeers, named after the company that, you know, mines blood diamonds with slave labor.
Yeah, but let's be honest, people love diamonds.
They're so pretty. Guy said blatant racist shit in every fucking promo he did. Did an angle where he refused to wrestle Jimmy Snuka because he wasn't white. Did an angle in the fucking UWF where he refused to let a certain referee his matches because he was black. Did plenty of angles where he just was whipping black people. Just straight up whipping imagery. It's far into the mid-90s, he was still doing weird indie shit where he was promoting I don't even know what it was, called Colonel DeBeers Aryan Nation Church. So there's a video out there of like him bringing out a bunch of like guys in like camo, and like one of them's got an NWO shirt under his camo. And like, they're not wrestlers, and he's just keep making them give testimonials for his Aryan Nation church. They're like, I think that it's the best church. It's real weird.
Was it real Cedar weird? Lake?
It looked like it could have happened in Cedar Lake. So, yeah, just straight up, like, it's not an accident. This was designed top to bottom to be probably the most racist thing to ever happen in wrestling. And boy, howdy, was it fucking the most racist thing in wrestling. And once again, this is coming out of the AWA from Minnesota. This ain't a Southern thing.
Is it racism or is it commitment to heel heat?
I mean, can the answer be a little bit of both?
I guess so.
Like, you gotta respect if this guy, like, in his heart is not a racist in the slightest, but he's just like, yeah, but I'm a fucking heel, and I'm a performance artist, so I'm gonna push this shit to the goddamn limits.
Because there's, like, that breed of idiot that's a wrestler, and it's just like, kayfabe, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Kayfabe.
And I'm into that for fucking sure.
And, like, is he that?
But, man, this is some life-ruining shit. Like, you can't go back out. It's like, you know, they talk about, like, porn stars getting all this depression and suicide and shit because they're like realize they're never going to be able to go back in normal society, and like this is some porn star shit right here, just like doing this fucking blatant racist shit on TV for a couple decades. Ain't no coming back from being Colonel De Beers.
Yeah, that's like, oh, you did gangbang movies for 10 years. Oh, 10 minute ones. Wow,
that's a lot.
Sorry, we don't want you to work at our Menards.
Colonel De Beers, I hear he's got a farm where he farms cats now. That's what he's doing for a living.
I don't think that's how cats work.
I read that on a Wikipedia, and that Wikipedia don't real, lie. Man. Don't fucking lie.
That's got to be real then.
Cat farmer. He's out there wrangling them.
Got a lot of questions, man.
There's a lot of up in there questions about Colonel De Beers.
This three count left me with more questions than answers, and I don't feel good about it.
I don't feel
it.
Great either.
Yeah. This might have been the worst.
We're tackling the tough issues, man.
Yeah,
somebody's got to do this work.
I guess you got to. I guess we're, you know, doing a yeoman's job.
Mm-hmm.
Just out there.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the things people don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
But it needs to be said, you know?
So we're going down. You can mark us on the record officially. We think that pro wrestling is racist.
Yeah. Because you know what my thought is on racism, Nate?
Oh, I don't know. Do I want to hear this?
It's still real to me, damn it.
Okay.
See what I did?
Yeah.
Tied it in.
Tied it back into wrestling.
Yeah. Take me somewhere light.
What
do we got next week, my friend?
Next week, we're going back down south.
Oh,
we're
going to
see what they were doing on May 9th, 1992.
I promise it's not racist.
What they were counter-programming the superstars with on that version of WCW Saturday Night.
Yeah, I can't wait to
Saturday Night's all right for fighting.
It's all right for fighting. It's all right for baby oil and blow. And Saturday Nights are especially all right for staying single.